Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your other hostess, Hanako. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not so favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today we will discuss True Blood, and it is on HBO Sundays 10/9 Central. So Hanako, we're back. This is the fourth time, I think, that we've recorded about True Blood this season. That never happens.
Right. I know, it's great. It's great. It feels like we're getting back to where we used to be. So that's cool.
Just like the show is, right?
Right. Yes. Yes.
So let me tell you. So Stephanie, she's going to be upset with us because she has finished watching every episode of True Blood.
Did she sleep at all? Because didn't she just start like last week?
Yes. She has seen everyone, and she has been listening to us, and she is dying to talk to you. So next time, she went camping. I was like, how you going to go camping when there's True Blood to talk about? But so she'll get in on the next one. Nene, you'll be on the next one. But Hanako, we're going to talk about this one. And what was funny about what Stephanie did is that she literally had a whole conversation with me about the entire run of True Blood in like one afternoon, and she had all the complaints that we had over the course of our years of recording, which was so hilarious.
Well, at least we know that our thoughts are validated.
Yeah. And then so she was also like, you guys don't remember things and stuff, and y'all have to think back to this, but I literally just watched and I was like, how could you forget these? No, Tara did this and this was that. So it's all fresh on her mind right now.
Yes, it's fresh. Tell her we lived through some of it, and then we suffered through some of it. So,
man, and she had it all in one dose. So she's gonna come on with us next time, because she just cannot wait to talk to you. She's gonna be at Dragon Con, so Yay. You get to meet her, and that ought to be fun to see.
It should. Yeah. Yes.
She, you know what? She kind of grew up like a fairy.
Oh.
And speaking of fairies, let's just get on with this.
Let's get on. Where do we even start? Because Sunday's episode, I have to say for myself, it was one of the best episodes in the season and quite possibly in the show for me, just because of some of the stuff that we got to see. Some of the let's start off with Lady May and Tara. I feel so bad for every bad thing I have ever said about Lady May. That episode was just so heart-wrenching for me. That little story where we see Tara's the history, and basically for those of you who are listening but didn't get a chance to see, or you don't care about spoilers, Lady May has been having visions of Tara, and she's been trying to figure out what it is Tara's trying to tell her. Well, what we find out is that Tara has, when she was a child, she buried a gun in the front yard, and the circumstances to that were that Lady May was trying to have a birthday party for Tara. And at this time, the vision that we saw was Tara's parents, who her father was apparently abusive, also an alcoholic, started a fight with Lady May, and Tara had hidden his gun, found the gun, and was about to shoot him, and she changed her mind about it and buried the gun in the front yard. Well, her father left that very afternoon, abandoned her and her mother, and that was kind of what started Lady May's downward spiral. So it was heart-wrenching because Tara felt guilt about not killing her father and setting Lady May on her path to addiction and basically personal destruction. And then Lady May was feeling guilty about abandoning Tara and not being strong enough for her. So it was a really nice moment of forgiveness for both of them. And then Lady May was able to let Tara go. And I was absolutely bawling
Oh my
at this
God,
point.
I hadn't cried like that. I was no good for the rest of the day because that
Right.
was just everything you just said. It was just like, I mean, if you've had a terrible childhood, this thing type of thing looks familiar. Everything about it looked familiar. Everything I feel like I felt, and been through and was there, without getting into specifics, but it was
Right.
extra personal for me. And I it was a very elegant way to end a story about a family. And I think this could quite possibly be the best treatment of black characters that I have ever seen. And
Wow.
not to go, be all racial or whatever, but
Right.
sometimes they just don't treat the characters like humans, or they're just like there for diversity or whatever. But this really got into the mind of, we got to see the why of everything, and how broken homes can lead to all sorts of madness and addictions and problems, and see where the root of the problems come from, and that Letty Mae was just not some random bad parent, but that it had, everything had layers and there was pieces to it. And it was a really quick scene. It didn't last the whole episode, but it was
But it
just,
was one of the most
yeah.
powerful scenes I've seen, especially with those characters, because for a long time, Letty Mae was basically comic relief. We laughed at her, her struggle with addiction, and not because it was a struggle with addiction, but I mean just the comedy with which her character was delivered. And Tara for a while, it's like we loved her and then we couldn't stand her, and then we were kind of like okay, and then we were kind of like oh, she's getting on my nerves, and then it was like she was gone, and we it was just, we've gone through so many ups and downs with these characters, and to see them come together and finish this particular storyline, with two episodes left, I think it was a really great way to close out this storyline. You and I had been wondering, what was the whole purpose of the visions? What was the whole purpose of them digging the holes? Like, where could this go? We thought it was going to be something really ridiculous, and it really ended up being something really
Powerful.
beautiful
Yeah,
and
beautiful, powerful,
powerful. So
yeah.
yeah, that was like one of my favorite scenes from the whole show, and I just sat there and I had to pause it, like, wow.
Why couldn't they pull this type of crap out every week?
Well, I know I don't have I don't between True Blood and all the other shows that I watch where I'm like emotionally invested in care. No, I can't do this every
No,
week.
you're
No.
right. You're right, because that would be like Battlestar Galactica, because that was
Or
just tiresome.
Game of Thrones. Oh my
Child,
God.
you girl, don't do it.
I'm just saying, you don't watch it, but oh my God,
I can't handle
that
it.
show knows how to rip your heart out. So,
I don't
but
need
yeah,
that.
coming back to True Blood, that was one of the best scenes. So
Yeah,
yeah, I enjoyed.
my and if you weren't crying, I don't know, but maybe you were, I don't know. You have a heart of coal. 'Cause
Right.
that was just, and I'm
And
glad it, I'm glad letting me, what I'm especially glad about is that the husband went on the journey. He finally gave in and he
yes, and
went
we
on the
had that
journey.
discussion last week about how it felt weird that he didn't support her or believe her when he had so much faith in her back when she was an addict. So just to see him finally go, and then his expression was just so priceless. Like I said, for that whole family, because now that's a bonding experience for Letty Mae and her husband and Lafayette. They all got to see Tara. They all got to see the truth, and they got to make peace with it and let her go.
And
And it was great.
and I don't think that Lafayette or the husband knew the level of abuse that Letty Mae had went through. I mean, this guy was up in arms about, probably he made $20,000 per year and he could not freaking give $50 for his baby girl to have a birthday party. How stingy can you be?
Right.
Like, dudes always hollering about their paycheck and all this other type of, like, really, you can't take it with you, number one, and your family is important, so spend it on them. Don't be, and he just left. How do you, what type of person does that?
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, I mean, you just really get to see how people can't. She's like, I can't do this without you. And raising kids is hard,
It
especially if you
is.
don't have any support. She may not even be educated, and it's just really hard. So, I mean, it's hard for anyone. And I just think they did an excellent job with that.
They
So we'll
really
see.
did.
We'll see what they do with the rest of the story, because I know some of the seasons they mishandled, but this was expert.
Yes. They actually are, they're doing a lot of good things with the storyline. Now, this is, I think, one of the better seasons that they've had, especially in recent years. It's like they are really going out with the feeling that was there closer to the first of, the first at the beginning of the show. Especially with the character storylines and kind of going back to the characters and what makes them them and how it kind of draw, I can't even get my thoughts together. Just basically how these characters came to be and what made us like them and what made us, fall for them and just kind of want to support them and kind of root for them, even the ones that we couldn't stand. But speaking of characters we couldn't stand, Violet got a bullet to the chest by Hoyt Fortenberry. Was that not like the
That was
best?
glorious.
Because I'm sorry, we had this conversation last week about the whole wooden dildo thing. That
It
was
got
nothing
worse.
compared
It
to
got worse.
I sat there looking at the screen and I had literally just finished listening to our episode from last week and I just looked at it. I said, okay, I thought that was bad too.
I saw those air quote toys, I was like, okay, Hanako is gonna go off.
Okay, now I would say some of the devices that she had, the torture devices, unfortunately, that's not the first time I've seen them this season because I watched Salem and
We're gonna talk about Salem, folks. We will get to it. Okay.
so seeing the chair and seeing the nipple clamps, which was really weird because she was really talking about the fact that this child had no breasts, which kind of went back to my statement last week about looking at somebody who looks 12 years old in bra and panties in a sex room. But anyway,
It
but
was
then when she
a
got to Jessica,
bra. It was a titty claw. It was it's just like a breast ripper, and you don't have any, and it looked like saber teeth, and it was just gonna tear at her flesh.
And that was just okay. I'm sitting here looking at this, and the absolute joy that Violet was getting from this, I was just,
Stunned.
I really kind of want to know what she did in her former life. But when she started talking about the people that she brought to their knees, and I'm like, okay, so one, she's really old. Two, she uses sex and she uses domination. I told you she probably was a dominatrix at some point. But when she pulled that iron dildo out of the fire and held it towards Jessica,
I lost it.
I started shaking like this was near my, like this was near my flesh. I was like, oh my God, I thought the whole sex toy thing could not get any worse with this chick. She just made it worse. And I don't know what writer came up with that, but you're fucking sick. I just want
I have seen a lot of things in my life. That was new. That was new. And the way she described it, because we all know that Jessica became a vampire when she was a virgin. So we
Yes.
all know what that means as far as Jessica is concerned. So not only was
No, we
she
got to
gonna,
spell it out. We got to spell
no,
it. Because some
no.
people, we got, okay, for those of you who don't get it, every time she has sex, she's having sex for the first time. Because she's a vampire, she heals. So basically, after sex, her hymen heals. So she becomes a virgin again.
Gross.
Which
Okay.
I'm sure, yes.
Stop
So.
it, Hanako. Gross. Okay, anyway. So because of that, what Hanako just said, which I won't repeat, she was gonna stick the fire hot dildo in Jessica, wait for her to heal, and do it again, and just keep doing it over and over. Oh God, this was just What type of sick mind comes up with that? I mean, she it sounded like she was just gonna enjoy it.
That's okay, because Hoyt had it for her. And I find that it was such poetic justice that it was Hoyt out of all people.
Why? I mean,
Hoyt came to Jessica's rescue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, basically, and then it kind of, from there, we kind of saw them get drawn to each other again, which is kind of cool and then kind of not, because I really feel bad for Jason. But at the same time, I remember what I liked about those two characters being together in the first place. And it's like we had this discussion last week. It's like a really sweet and pure and innocent love with them, or it was with them. And it's like now they're still drawn to each other, even though Hoyt has absolutely no idea who she is. He's still drawn to her.
And Jessica is still kind of drawn to him, and she's
Yes.
playing with fire. She knows she should not be toying with this guy. She invited him over. She's talking to him. She's being all sweet and drawn in. And I understand her fascination with it, but it's cruel on the one hand. And I wish she would just stop it.
Well, I don't know, because she actually didn't invite him. He came to her. It was something,
Oh,
he had a conversation
yeah.
with Satan, and then he decided, like he said, to go to the clinic to get tested. He found out he was a Hep B negative, so he brought over a bag of blood for Bill. And I just thought that was the sweetest gesture for him, just basically, okay, I want to help her out. And it kind of speaks to who Hoyt really is on the inside, and not this angry Hoyt that we've seen the last couple of episodes. Because beginning of the episode when he had the whole rant about not having kids, and he was really cruel, and I haven't seen that Hoyt in a long time. So for him to start out the episode as the Hoyt that left Bon Temps, the one that we couldn't stand once he got to that point, and to see him at the end of the episode come back to the Hoyt that we first knew, I liked it. But now that makes things complicated, because I do think that Jessica has feelings for Jason. I don't think her feelings for Jason are the same that he feels for her. I think he feels more attached to her, but I think she's still kind of, I don't, she still doesn't know what it is that they have between them. And now that Hoyt has kind of slowly made his way back into her life, even in unintentionally, I think that's going to be a problem.
And not to mention, the girlfriend went off with Jason.
And my daughter was watching that episode with me, and she kept saying, "He's the police. Why doesn't he just kick her out the car? Why doesn't he just kick her out the car?" I said, "Because then that would make this episode so much more boring."
And then
You've got
Hoyt wouldn't have rolled up in all Clint Eastwood, click loud.
right.
Yeah. I just love that guy so much. Like you said, with the purity of him, he's just so sweet and generous. Well, maybe he got the blood to appear sweet just so he can have an excuse to go over there. So ulterior motives, but it was still a
Yeah.
great gesture to go over there, check things out. I do like that she tried to Jessica tried to kind of raise up on him a little bit, but he was just like, "Yeah, I gotta go back to my girlfriend." So that
Yeah.
was sweet. That was,
That was stand up point.
yeah.
But
So.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to continue to try to push those two characters together, but I think if they do, they're going to have to make Jessica tell Hoyt the truth. He's going to have to remember, because other than that, it won't feel right to me. You know, for them to once again enter in a relationship, and he has no clue about the fact that he was already in a relationship with her for, I think they were together almost 2 years, maybe. So they're going to have to find some way to address that. But even if they don't, I kind of liked what this episode brought in terms of Hoyt and Jessica. It was nice, and it was sweet, and it was very nostalgic of, past seasons. So,
I
yeah.
don't know. I just feel like they're playing with fire that they don't really need to play with at this point. It was cute to see them kind of reunite for a while, but to me, I think Hoyt has been through enough. And I don't want Jessica toying with him, and I don't, because she's just confused. And it's okay to be confused, but you need to sometimes just stop if you're confused and you don't know what you want to do. You have Jason, and then you straight up told the hottest guy on the show that you got gonna have a beautiful friendship. And then you like, right? Yeah. And then so you come with Hoyt and you know what you've done to him. Don't push up on him again. That's just rude, you know? It's just I get it. And I get what you're saying, but I don't want Hoyt hurt again, and I don't want him to know the truth. We've already seen his dark side come out with his new girlfriend. We know he didn't mean it. We know he's hurting 'cause his mom's is dead, which but
And you know what? I don't know. I don't think it's so much that his mom is dead. I think it's because now he, in a sense, is alone. He doesn't remember his best friend, the only person that he's ever truly loved. He doesn't remember her because of what happened. His mom is gone. He has really no other family. So I think it's more a sense of him feeling alone. And the thing with Jessica, I don't think that Jessica is confused. I think deep down, Jessica has always loved Hoyt. And at the beginning of the end of their relationship, it was because Hoyt was starting to be a little unaccepting of what she needed, and as far as being a vampire.
Right,
He was
right.
starting to get a little, it was starting to work on his nerves, because she would pull away from sex from him because she didn't want to have to keep going through the pain of first time sex. She needed
Oh, she wasn't
more
worried
human.
about that with Jason the other night.
Well, you know what? But I think you got to think about it. This is a few years down the road, so she may have been able to cope with that. But remember, Hoyt was her first. So she was dealing with this with him, and she was a baby vampire. She had just been turned not too long before that. So she was dealing with a lot of this stuff in this serious relationship, and I think it got to be too much for her, and she was trying to find some balance to that. But Hoyt wanted her, I think, to be a little bit, not necessarily be more human, but he was kind of getting tired of having to work around her being a vampire. And then he started being mean, and then they started getting into it. And remember, Hoyt was the one who ended things with her. Hoyt was the one who threw her out. Hoyt was the one who rescinded her invitation into their house. So it's not that Jessica was ever confused about how she felt about Hoyt. It was Hoyt who started kind of that spiral. And then with the way he treated her, she turned to Jason, not initially for sex. It just kind of ended up going there. But
Because
I
it's
don't,
Jason.
well, yes, because it's Jason. I mean, he's the town slut, yes. And he's, like you said, one of the best looking guys there. But I think also it was just the fact that at that time, Jason was more accepting of who she was and not trying to change her into something else that she couldn't be. And I think that was just kind of what happened with them. So I don't know. I don't think Jessica is, I don't think she's toying with Hoyt. I think she's trying to hold back, but at the same time, you can't help who you love. And she still loved him when she made him forget who she was. So, I don't think she's toying with him, but I don't, again, I don't see how it's going to work. The only way I can see that working, especially with everything that's going on with the other vamps, since Bill decided not to drink the blood, if he
Man, we
ends up dying, oh
gonna
yeah, we're gonna go into that. But if he decides not to drink Sarah Newland's blood and cure himself of Hep B, he's going to die. If he dies, really, Jessica has no other reason to stay in Bon Temps. Why couldn't she go back to Alaska with Hoyt? I mean, look, it's dark there 6 months out of the year. She could have a pretty decent life. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, it's
But then what
possible.
happens to the girlfriend?
The girlfriend has her eyes on Jason. Come on now. Come on now. She been a little extra touchy-feely since they walked into town.
You've been calling us, but I've been in denial. I don't want that for him. I don't want this thing, because then that would be history repeating himself, and then he'd still leave Alaska. I mean, leave Bonton with Jessica, mad at Jason yet
But I don't
again.
think he would be mad, because if you think about it, Hoyt has no clue who Jason is. He doesn't feel threatened by him right now. He doesn't feel like, oh, Jason always gets all the girls and I guess the leftovers, because he doesn't know who Jason is. And we have seen that he honestly doesn't really care that much about this girl. I mean, just the way that he's treated her. His whole thing has been, when he talked to Jason, he said it's not fair to Bridget. He didn't say anything about I love her. He said him thinking about Jessica wasn't fair to her. Hoyt doesn't care about this girl. He may care about her, but I don't think he loves her. I don't think he sees a future with her. And he made that pretty clear when he was at his mom's house cleaning out her stuff, and she made the comment about children. He made it pretty clear. Look at the look on his face. He does not have a future with this woman. He does not see a future with this woman.
I just want Hoyt to be happy, and I don't want Jessica to come in messing stuff up. I just want Hoyt to be happy, and if it's with this girl, fine. If it's with Jessica and she has her act together, fine. But she needs to get it together, because Hoyt is a good guy. Like, you don't want to always take up for the guy or whatever. And you know, I'm a Jessica fan, but when you, I love Hoyt more.
Right, and I get it, but again, I think Hoyt doesn't see a future with Bridget, and he may have one with Jessica. I've told you, I'm not an advocate for staying in a relationship where you're not happy. It's
That's
not gonna
true.
happen. He doesn't have a future with that girl.
That's I mean that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. But if he's sure he's not happy with her and whatever, I just want Hoyt to be happy.
Yep.
I just want, because I love Hoyt.
He can be happy with Jessica.
I don't
But
really want him or her, but
at
whatever.
this point, I don't I can honestly see Jessica being with either one of them, either Hoyt or Jason, and I'll be cool with either one.
I want her to get stay with Jason. And leave Hoyt for me. I
Yeah, are you moving to Alaska?
will.
Oh, yeah, right. Right. It's hard to go to school in Alaska from from Alaska to New York. That's a little bit.
It's close. I mean, it's pretty much blizzard always around here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go ahead. Wait, let's first talk about Eric Northman and the beginning of the episode. I thought when Eric bit Sarah Newland, that was the most triumphant scene ever. This guy, it was just like a hero's entrance. He like drank her, the veins went away, and he was like, yeah. And I was just like,
Right. Me too. And then this is the thing. And I sat here and I throughout the episode, like I said, my daughter's watching it. Now my daughter's not a True Blood watcher, so but the last couple of episodes she's been in the room when I've been watching it. So she'll ask questions, or I'll just talk to her like I'm talking to somebody who knows what True Blood is about. And so when they're sitting there making the deal with Mr. Cowboy, I cannot remember his name right now, but when they're making the deal with him about not telling anyone, which, by the way, side note, his plan to market Sarah Newland's blood, but to alter it so that it's not a complete cure, but that it's medicine, it's a brilliant plan. It's cruel, but it's brilliant. It's brilliant because now you'll have these. I mean, it's just like any of these other drugs that we have here that kind of sustains people with lifelong, diseases. It's a brilliant plan, but it sucks because I really want to see some of the vampires cured. Not all of them, but some of them. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, when they made this deal to not tell anyone about the cure, all I could sit there and say was, but he doesn't know about Bill. But he doesn't know about Bill. What is he going to do when he finds out about Bill? And then as soon as he showed up at Sookie's, well, excuse me, at Bill's door, and Sookie was there, which was weird because he was like, I wanted to find you and tell you I'd be okay. How did you know to go to Bill's house to look for her?
Can he smell her?
I don't know, probably so, the fairy blood. But the look on his face when Sookie told him Bill was sick, I was just like, oh, that's him friend. Like, you know, they've always had this rivalry with each other. But the fact that once she told him Bill was sick, his whole face changed. Like, oh, fuck, I got to do something. That just made me so giddy. And then Pam's look on her face, because, you know, Pam is hard. She's tough. She's always got a smart ass mouth. And you could see the look on her face change right before she said, you look like shit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like you could see it on her face. She was like, oh my God, this is not good. You know, it's like throughout the course of the seasons, these characters who really couldn't stand each other, they actually care about each other enough to, you know, to where they don't want to see him die, which I don't want to see him die. When I tell you, I was so freaking mad when he said, I don't want to drink the blood.
I told you.
I wanted to throw something at my feet.
I knew he was going to do it because he was walking to her too slow. I told you, for this to end properly, Bill must die. We've been seeing flashbacks of his life. We've been wondering why he's been doing all this crap.
Okay, but here's the other thing.
Son is gonna die.
Here is the other thing too. We also saw him dream about Sookie and a baby. Did I not talk to you about
it? You did, but it was a black hole baby.
It was a black hole baby, but at the same time, it's still.
I saw that.
Sookie with the baby, not his wife. He dreamt about Sookie with the baby. I said, here we go. Here we go.
I saw that and I grimaced and I thought of you and I was like, that damn Hanako, she gonna just be too much to handle when she see that crap. No, that's not gonna happen, because Bill he lived a full vampire life. He's been a god. He's came back to life. He's had fairy blood. He wants to suffer no more. He lost his humanity.
Mm-mm, girl. No. Bill is not good. Bill cannot die. If Bill dies, he has to die in True Blood.
He has to die.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Kill Bill.
Hell no.
Kill Bill. Volume bon ton.
No.
Yeah, no.
Okay, we're going to move on, because I refuse to accept that Bill is going to die. Bill is not going to die. He's not going to die.
Would you like to make a friendly wager?
You know what? I'll take that wager.
Oh, no!
I'll take that wager.
Okay, what we got?
Whoever loses has to buy lunch at Dragon Con.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's a good way. Now, I want something like more like depraved, but I can't think anything now, but okay.
look, we can always take a wager on that baby bet.
Oh, okay. Well, if he dead, she can't get pregnant. Well, you know. No, you have to be specific. Hey. Is she going to get pregnant with Bill's baby, or is she already pregnant with Alcide's baby? Like, what?
Her and Bill done got to it. I think it's him. I think Sookie's gonna have a Twilight baby.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. Okay.
Okay, so. Listeners, y'all heard it here first. I'm calling it.
We have two wagers or just one? Okay, let's see.
I'm calling it.
Let's see. Baby by Bill.
We need to write this down. I need to make some notes.
I need to know, like, what's going to be the wager? We'll come up. Hey, listeners, come up with the wager for the baby. Because I don't think the baby's going to happen. Not in real life. Maybe in a dream, but not in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bill is going to die. You heard it here.
No, heard it first.
But, yeah. We get to find out. We have three more or two more?
Two.
I know,
we only have two episodes left, and then what are we gonna do? We're gonna have to find another show that we can, like,
that'll be easy.
Yeah, it will, because we have so many to choose from. Now that we seem to be recording on a regular schedule now, or more regularly, then I think we can come up with some stuff. Like, we can talk about Salem, and we need to get you back into Vampire Diaries and into the originals. And Once Upon a Time is coming back on. And oh, you know, they added another character from Once Upon a Time to DragonCon, but we'll talk about that later. But yes, so let's see. We've got wagers. Sookie's gonna be pregnant, and you say that Bill is gonna die. Mm-hmm. Which no, I refuse.
Bill is gonna die, and Sookie is not pregnant.
Okay, so see, we're very adamant on our stances on both of those topics. So we'll see. We have two more episodes to kind of see what's gonna happen. Who else do we need to? Look, is there anybody else worth talking about this episode?
I glanced at my notes and that's it.
Oh, because we didn't get any Sam, so we don't know what's going on with him.
No, Alcide is still dead.
You know, I guess Andy and Holly are going to have to figure out that whole family dynamic, how that's going to work. And I think that was pretty much it for the episode. What, do I feel like we're missing something?
No, that's it. You know what? We can wrap it up, and we could come back like with another show or next week really early, because we waited a little bit for this one. But you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's episode is going to be good.
So next time, it has to be, because that's like
the second to the last.
Yeah, episode. That's terrible. Bill's gonna.
You know. It's so funny because last season we were both kind of ready for the show to end, and now that they've gotten, I don't know, it's like
I'm still ready.
They got renewed. I don't know. Mm-mm. I think I'm ready for it to be over, because I want it to end on a good note. But at the same time, I'm really going to miss these characters, especially like, what am I going to do without my Lafayette fix? What am I going to do?
He wasn't really doing anything.
But just the scenes that he really stole or shunned in, what am I going to do without that? I don't, you know.
That's why you got Amazon Prime.
Well, yeah, and YouTube. Because I tell you, I can watch that AIDS burger scene all day, every day, and just get the same life out of it. But okay. Two more episodes, Kate.
Two more episodes, y'all. So, I am requesting feedback, guys. I still want your feedback. Our number is the same. It is 773-336-2686. We have a website that you can leave comments on, and that is scifipartyline.com.
Yep, and you can also find us online on Twitter and Gmail. I'm at HMRPotter. Kat is at Fancy Fembot, and you can reach us both at Sci-Fi Party Line on Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.